On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Chiefs football.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
And your home for Royals baseball.
Fastball hit high in the air, deep left field, way gone into the bleachers. A two-run homer for Bobby Witt Jr.
Watch The Drive by subscribing on our YouTube channel or listen on demand with the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is always going to stand on principles. Dippin' Dots are incredible. Red Lobster is the best restaurant that America has to offer, and baked beans are trash.
You're listening to Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan. Here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. This is our last show of the week. We are off tomorrow in celebration of Independence Day. So you know what? Let's make the most out of the time that we have today. We have a lot of soccer planned in today's show. We are going to start with the red card heard round the world yesterday. I was thinking about this. I don't know if there is a more American way to discuss the World Cup than an officiating controversy. Boy, we love an officiating controversy, don't we? NBA Finals. We see Victor Wembanyama look like he was trying to choke slam, pile drive Jalen Brunson through the hardwood. And then we waited to see if he was going to get a technical foul for it, if they were going to give him a flagrant for it. NFL games. Remember the Bills and the Broncos and the Brandon Cooks play. I mean, just we love an officiating controversy. Well, what do we know? In the biggest U.S. soccer game in the last 20 years, what are we in the middle of? An officiating controversy. We'll get to it here coming up in a bit. We are going to talk about the Jaylen Brown trade. I saw this posted yesterday. Shout out to my guy, BH In-Depth Mo. Yesterday was the least attended Royals summer game in the last 5 years. What does that mean? We'll talk about it here coming up throughout the course of the show. We got a lot to get into. Again, this is our last show this week as we are off tomorrow in celebration of the 4th of July. Let's get right into it. But first, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, you know what? I need you to tell one person a day this weekend. Maybe you're out celebrating America 250. Maybe you're out popping fireworks. The way that it sounds, all of you are some master grill man. Whatever it is, I need you to tell one person this weekend, every single day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I need you to say, hey, you know what? Do you like sports? Do you like nonsense? Well, I've got just a show for you. That would really make me happy if you do that. And number three, and most importantly, I would encourage you guys to go stop by and see our friends over at The Other Place. I'm trying to push for our next gathering to watch United States soccer at The Other Place. We'll see if that could come together. But I am putting my hat in the ring. We've been showing a lot of love to the Peanut, and they've been great to us. We need to show a little bit more love to my friends over at The Other Place. So I'm pushing for our next gathering of souls to be at one of the area five locations to see my friends over at The Other Place. All right, Rob. You know that I just started watching soccer 2 weeks ago. So I'm sure I don't have some context. I'm sure there's some technicalities to the rules. I'm sure there's some things that you are going to communicate to me as a soccer novice that you have as a soccer expert and aficionado. And all I can do is compare this to other sports that I watch. I watch a lot of basketball. We have varying degrees of flagrant fouls. And not every flagrant foul will get you ejected from the game. But if you end up getting a flagrant two, if you end up getting a flagrant that results in you being ejected from the game, then usually you did something kind of crazy. You did something like Victor Wembanyama when he elbowed Naz Reid in the neck. You got to kick LeBron James in the nuts in the NBA Finals in order for them to eject you from the game at this stage of what we're talking about. So when I see that penalty, I am asking myself, does this warrant all of the penalty that comes with a red card? You getting a red card is not just, hey, you got to go sit on the bench. No, you getting a red card means that the team that commits the red card now plays at a disadvantage for however long that it is. So the United States played with 10 players for over 30 minutes yesterday. That's a pretty significant penalty. You not only lose your best player, you also can't replace that roster spot on the field. And then the punishment doesn't stop there. It also carries over to the next game. So Flo Balogun is not going to play or didn't play in the remainder of the game against Bosnia. He also is ineligible to play in the United States' next game coming up on Monday against Belgium. Now, again, I am a soccer rookie here, but if you are going to call a red card, knowing the weight of a red card, knowing the consequences of a red card, you better be damn sure about it. And I have heard enough national perspective on this. I haven't heard a single soccer person tell me that they think that's a good call. I've not seen a single soccer person who is really knowledgeable, the experts. I have not seen a soccer person tell me, oh yeah, that's obvious. That's a red card. A yellow card is whatever. They're handing out yellow cards. They're just giving them away. You walk up to the ref, they'll just give you a yellow card. But a red card? You get ejected from the game, you can't play in the next game? You better be 1,000% certain. It needs to be egregious. It needs to feel malicious. This is the same argument that I have in basketball. This is the same argument that I have when we're discussing roughing the passer or when you put your full body weight onto a player. We got to start watching these games and legislating these games with a measure of common sense. The United States is dominating that game. I don't know why in that scenario, why the best player on the United States team would now try to purposely injure somebody on the opposition. I think they're jostling for position. I think they're all feet are tangled up. Everybody's kicking at the ball. And unfortunately, Balogun steps on the guy's heel. That's a yellow card, in my opinion. But Rob, I want to give you time to weigh in on this because I'm looking at it as a rookie. I'm looking at this as somebody who just started watching soccer a couple of weeks ago. And a month from now, I will not be watching soccer anymore. But if you were just asking me and my expert opinion with watching sports, and I've seen baseball games where guys get ejected. I've seen football games where guys get ejected. Basketball games, whatever. In order for them to eject you from this level, we're not talking about a week one NFL game. We're not talking about a February NBA regular season game. We're talking about single elimination in the World Cup. For it to go to a red card, and maybe more specifically in this, for it to go from it was not called on the field a yellow card, for it to go from a no call to all the way to red card, you are disqualified from the game. I think it needs to be a lot more malicious than that. I think it needs to be a lot more intentional than what I saw. It needs to be much more egregious, and that's just not what my eyes told me yesterday.
I agree with you. It is a really, really poor decision that when you watch in real time did not look like really a foul, but if it slow mode, okay, maybe it elevates to a card, but the idea that it has elevated to a red card is nonsensical to me. So on top of everything you're saying, because I agree with how you're seeing it, I think even as a soccer novice, you are seeing it correct. What frustrates me about what happened is this is incorrect implementation of VAR. We are supposed to make sure we get yellow cards. Hey, let's double check that he wasn't more egregious. There wasn't more malice. There wasn't more problematic. Hey, Balogun potentially put a guy in danger of getting injured. We got to go to the officiating. I don't remember plays stopping. The ball rolls out of bounds and they go to a VAR review. That's not the point of replay. So I agree with you. First and foremost, the call is wrong. The call is harsh. But secondarily, we stop the game to go to replay to get a call wrong. It's just, it's very frustrating. And the trickle-down effects are Balogun now can't play in the Belgium match. A Belgium match that most bookmakers would tell you is a coin flip game right now, that you could probably dream a dream the United States would be the better team and be favored if they had their lead striker. But instead, he'll be watching in street clothes in Seattle because of a very harsh and what I think is a poor decision from the officials.
So coming up on the other side, I want to hear from some of the experts when it comes to this, because I'm certainly no soccer expert. We're having a little bit of fun here, but I don't know enough about this to speak knowledgeably about it. All I can tell you is what I think I saw yesterday and what I feel like the intent was in all of this. And I don't think it got to the point where it rose to the level of this should be a red card and now the United States best player should be unable to advance in to the next round of this tournament. Now, I still think the United States can win this next game despite not having Flo Balogun. I think this team is better equipped to be able to do that than some teams that we've seen in years past. But it goes without saying, it is not good to go into your most important game of the tournament without your best and most important player. We'll see if the U.S. can hold on, and we'll see if they can make it to the round of eight. We'll continue to talk about this next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
I mean, come on, guys. What are we doing here?
On your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's continue our soccer conversation with our Odyssey Insider. Let me tell you that today's Insider calls are presented by Fanatic Sportsbook. Download the Fanatic Sportsbook app today. Winning hits different here. We're very happy right now to be joined by Jamie Watson to break down what happened yesterday in the World Cup between the United States and Bosnia. Jamie, happy to talk soccer with you today, my man. Really appreciate your time.
I don't know if it's me, but it's the sun's shining a little bit brighter. The grass is greener. The USA continues to march on in the World Cup. Everything is good after that win last night, apart from Flo Balogun picking up a red card. It was a fantastic performance from the U.S., and the party still continues in what's been this incredible World Cup we've been seeing.
So let's talk more about that red card. What did you make of it as somebody who follows soccer? Do you agree with the decision?
You know what I love about this? In fact, we're talking about this on your radio right now. I was just talking about it with my wife and my kids. I've been talking about it today. I love how in the forefront this conversation has been because people are truly invested. It's brought together people. And if we talk about this, one thing I've done like for the red card, and I'm firmly in that that boat. Look, probably by the letter of the law, if you're saying a red card is for endangering the player's safety, when you look at the still shot, the ankle that's rolled from the Bosnian Herzegovina defender and Flo Balogun's full weight on the ankle, I can see how the referees got to that decision. I don't like it, though, because I think it completely lacks context of the fact that there was no movement towards the defender. There was no weird positioning of the foot from Balogun to jump and to land and to purposefully make an effort towards hurting the defender. I think we lacked common sense in that moment. And I say we, you or I didn't lack common sense in that moment. I think the video assistant referee in that moment should have looked at the whole entire picture and thought that if the referee on the field didn't think that there was something wrong with this, I don't think that it was clear and obvious, because that should be the threshold. You look at something at the review, you say it's clearly and obviously a red card. And I'm not sure nearly, you know, 18 hours later from the game that we're saying that that's clear and obvious. That leads me to believe that I don't think it was the right decision.
that's at least my stance on this by somebody who just started watching soccer a couple of weeks ago. You know, I'm just comparing it to the other sports that I watch. You know, in basketball, right? In order for you to be ejected, you got to do something egregious. You got to elbow somebody. You got to kick somebody in the groin. If you're going to be ejected from a football game, you really got to do something above and beyond. So to me,
well, that's
it's not a perfect analogy.
Sorry to interject. That's a perfect analogy with the basketball, because how many times you see in basketball players jump up and one player lands on a player's foot and it rolls and you see it and you're like, that sucks. That is awful. I feel so bad that that happened, but it's a part of the game. That's what happened in this moment. Nobody gets ejected in basketball for that unless you're trying to be egregious. You're trying to hurt somebody. It's dead obvious that you're trying to do that. That's not what happened. So perfect analogy bringing up basketball, because that's kind of how I've been equating it to it, that it happens in sports sometimes, but doesn't mean you need to be ejected for it, I believe.
Yeah, and that's why, at least for me, you know, there has to be a level of malicious intent. There has to be a, I'm trying to hurt this guy, and that's not really why. A yellow card, I feel like I watch enough soccer. They hand these yellow cards out. They're giving you a yellow card for just about anything. But for it to be a red card, especially with everything that a red card carries, it's not just you are removed from that game. You got to play a person down, and you can't play for the next game. And we're in the single elimination stage. This is the knockout round. You got to do something above and beyond. And the fact that not many people think this was above and beyond just makes it seem like the incorrect call to me.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that one. Now the next question is off of that is, what does the United States men's national team do without their star center forward, the man that really looks like he is the one that threatens opponents? And so you got to go with the next man up mentality. But I'd be lying to you if I said there isn't a drop off. There certainly is. And so the U.S. men's national team are going to have to go into their hardest matchup against a team that just beat the brakes off the U.S. men's national team in March in the United States 5-2, and that was flattering to the United States men's national team. And now they got to do it without their best striker. I mean, it is going to be a seriously tough matchup for the U.S. men's national team. But you're in the World Cup, you're in the final 16. Every matchup is going to be difficult, and if you ultimately want to lift the greatest trophy in sports at the global, the world's biggest sporting event in this global sporting spectacle, you're going to have to beat good teams. And so the United States men's national team, this is a test and a real adversity that they're going to have to overcome. We'll see if they're up for it.
I do have one final question on this, and then we'll move on and we'll talk about what the U.S. needs to do. There's no crying over spilled milk. You've already, the decision has already been made. He's not playing in the next game. I've seen a lot of soccer people compare this to the Lionel Messi play that happened earlier in this tournament. Do you see similarities between those two plays?
Well, that's hilarious you bring that up, because also in that conversation with my two boys who love soccer, they brought up the fact that Messi didn't get a red card. And I mean, they asked the question, do you think if Messi was the one that jumped up and landed on somebody's foot, do you think it would have the same outcome? Look, I'm not in the business of contradicting decisions about the greatest of all time. I'm happy Messi didn't get a red card. But, yeah, I think that's a fair question to ask. And so hopefully we'll it didn't feel like in the time that the referee felt like that was a player that was trying to hurt his opponent. Talking about Lionel Messi here. So you stick with that decision and the feel of the game that the referee had in that moment. But you've seen him given. It could have been a red card. I'm personally glad it wasn't, though, because I would have missed out on seeing Lionel Messi play. And I think we all would have missed out on seeing Lionel Messi do what he's done in this tournament. It's been simply remarkable. The stars have showed up in this tournament. And no recency bias when I say this. This has unequivocally been the best World Cup that I can remember in my lifetime. We are being treated to an absolute spectacle day in and day out with this tournament.
Jamie, I'm guessing just if it was like the roles are reversed, like they would have gave the player laying on the ground the red card instead of Lionel Messi. You know what I mean? Like they would have gave Bosnia a red card for not getting up fast enough to continue play. I was honestly trying to think of what Lionel Messi would have to do in their next game, the next Argentina game, what he would have to do for them to give him a red card and eject him from that game and the next game.
Do you want to be the ref that does that and gives Messi a red card and maybe it's the last time we see in a World Cup? I certainly don't want to be.
He'd have to, like, take his shoe off and throw it at somebody or, like, headbutt somebody like Zidane did a couple of World
Cups
ago.
There we go. That might qualify. That might see him get red card right there.
Right now we're talking to J.B. Watson. He joins us on the show. You can own up to 10% of fan cash on your bets, win or lose, with Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. All right, Jamie, let's talk about what needs to happen moving forward. How would you handicap the U.S. chances against Belgium on Monday?
Oof. That's the right question. If you're if you're headed to Vegas or you're making your bets online here, you know, I haven't looked at what the odds are of this matchup, but look, on paper, Belgium, top 10 team in the world. They just beat the United States back in March, like we talked about earlier. Man, I think this is one where the sportsbooks are going to lean to the favor of Belgium. But what I think could ultimately be something that is an X factor for the United States is the fact that the United States are playing this one at home and they're riding this momentum. I feel like the beauty about the World Cup, and maybe not the beauty because you may say this is unjust, you don't have to be the best team for the previous 3 years and 11 months heading into the tournament. You just have to qualify for the tournament, and then you have to be the best team for that month or these 39 days, right? You got to win 8 games to get there, and not even all 8 games because you can lose a group stage game along the way and still get there. But all that's to say is the U.S. are trending in the right direction. Belgium have stuttered a little bit in this tournament. They haven't looked as convincing. So for me, I think the U.S. have a few things that could be a great equalizer to this, but as we're talking, I am looking at Belgium -190 and U.S. +155 to win. That tells me that my momentum tracker means absolutely nothing to the odds makers. They are taking Belgium as the favorites in the matchup, and the U.S. probably are underdogs on paper, but the crowd can be the difference. The fact that this is a home World Cup in Seattle, that could be the one thing. If the U.S. men's national team play with the quality that we've seen, like they did against Paraguay in the first game, the determination that they played with last night against Bosnia and Herzegovina, they put that together. That could be ultimately what sees the U.S. men's national team have their biggest win in World Cup history.
Right now, we're breaking down the World Cup with Jamie Watson here for a couple of more minutes. Jamie, who are some of the players who need to step up for the U.S. team now with Balogun out for Monday's matchup?
Well, we're going to talk always about Christian Pulisic, and these are the moments where your legacy is made, right? As a player that can show up in the big moments and the players that can deliver, he's somebody that's going to have to step up. He's somebody that's going to have to deliver given the circumstances. And then it's the next man up mentality, right? Is it Ricardo Pepi, who it looks like Mauricio Pochettino has sort of leaned on in this tournament when Balogun hasn't played? So now you're thinking, okay, it looks like it's probably going to be him. I wouldn't hate seeing Haji Wright start. I think that he is a player that can really replicate what Flo Balogun brings you, but I'm not there training every day. They're not paying me the big bucks to make these decisions. We just get to sit here and play Monday morning quarterback about them when it's all said and done. So this is going to be a big decision who starts in the place of Flo Balogun, and Christian Pulisic, he's got to be the player that steps up and continues to be the creative force with the U.S. men's national team if they want to be able to pull off this win against Belgium.
That is Jamie Watson joining us on the show. Our insider calls are presented by Fanatic Sportsbook. And remember, winning hits different here. Jamie, great stuff, man. We'll catch up with you after the game to see if the United States makes it to the round of 8.
Hey, hopefully we're talking before the quarterfinals on Tuesday. Looking forward to doing this again with you, and enjoy the rest of the tournament. Enjoy the U.S. game Monday night.
Absolutely. That is Jamie Watson joining us on the show today, talking a little bit of soccer as we are breaking down the World Cup. Rob, the United States would end up playing Spain if everything stays true to form, right?
If everything plays to seed, it'd be Spain.
Oh, boy.
Or it could be Portugal or Croatia. Oh, like sure. That side of the bracket's tough.
Oh, absolutely. I'm watching the game right now. Spain, it is 0-0. It is in the 26th minute right now between those two teams. Rob, let me ask you this question about the game yesterday. Do you think yesterday was about the opponent that the United States was playing, or do you think that it was more about them? Now, I'm not here trying to poke holes in what the U.S. accomplished. You make it to the knockout round, single elimination, you do all of that. Bosnia couldn't score for 30 minutes when they had a one-man advantage against the United States. Bosnia never really challenged the United States. I know the score wasn't reflective of it. I thought the U.S. was actually more dominant in that than they have been in any of the other games that they've had so far in this World Cup. I thought they were more dominant than they were against Paraguay to kick things off, and more dominant than they were in the matchup against Australia. They dominated that game from start to finish yesterday. They were never challenged. That result was never in question. It was very obvious who was winning. And even after the United States got the red card, they're down a man, Bosnia still didn't really challenge the United States. I'm sitting there watching it with you, Rob. We're watching it together as a station. There was never a time in which I thought the U.S. was going to lose that game or that Bosnia had a realistic chance of winning that game. There wasn't even a threat of them scoring a goal and getting it to extra time. The U.S. just put it to them yesterday. I do think you should be proud of the United States. Like, for them to be down a man the way that they were and hold it together for the final 30, 35 minutes, and not just hold it together, they scored another goal while at a man down and a man disadvantage. Do you think that yesterday's result is more about the United States and their development as a program and them being a very dangerous team? Or do you think this is another instance of the schedule has just broken perfectly for the United States so far?
I think the answer is both. And I don't mean to take a cop out, but listen, we've seen the United States against lesser competition not be dominant. We've seen them, not in this World Cup, but just in general, as a collective, as a men's national team. We have seen them against teams they should handle, not handle business. How many times do you make fun of me because in the Gold Cup they lose to insert team X? Oh man, can you believe Costa Rica got them in the semifinal of the Gold Cup? How disappointing. And non-American soccer fans get their jokes off. Can you believe, you know, blank happened and they lost this match to a team, you always point out, the population the size of Arkansas. How did that happen? So part of it is definitely the schedule. I'm not going to pretend it's not. But the fact they have been so dominant over a lesser team does give me some excitement, because I've seen the same country, the same team, the same soccer group struggle against lesser competition. This is, for an NCAA tournament comparison, the United States is a 3 seed and they played a 6 seed last night. They won, and that's great. They were playing a lesser seed, they should win. But they dominated the match in ways of winning. So I think the style matters more than the opponent to me.
Like, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the stats, and even just the basic stats that I can understand, Bosnia really had no chance of winning that game yesterday. They never really threatened. They never really attacked. They never really put any pressure on the United States. Like, the United States, they just controlled it from start to finish in a way that I'm just not really accustomed to watching the United States kind of dominate this tournament. Now, I think it is very safe to say the degree of difficulty is about to turn up noticeably for the rest of this tournament. Belgium, I would say, is pretty equal to the United States. Maybe you'd argue they're a little bit better. You were telling me the rankings. Belgium's ranked 10th in the world. United States is ranked around 17th. They're about similar programs. And then from there, you could end up playing Spain or Portugal or one of those teams. So I will say, even as the soccer casual, anybody that is making that excuse or caveat when it comes to United States soccer, that time is over. If you beat Belgium and you're down your lead attacker and your number one scorer, I don't want to hear about how good the other team wasn't. No, you put up a pretty good performance against a Belgium team. If you go up head-to-head against Spain and you play a good match, there's no asterisk that you could put going up against the pre-favorite to win the World Cup. So any qualifications that people may have had for the United States and what they've done so far, that time is over now in this tournament. Now we're at the round of 16.
Now, I always say this about, this applies to all sports, but I think it applies to soccer too. Belgium is a better team than the United States. The FIFA rankings would tell you that. Everything would tell you that. But styles make fights. And the style at which the Belgium team wants to play, I think, is advantageous for the U.S., considering Belgium is not a young man's team. Now, the same Belgian team that went up in 2014 and beat the United States, a United States team that had Matt Beisler and Clint Dempsey and Tim Howard on the field, a lot of the same Belgian players are going to be on the field on Monday. You're going to see Kevin De Bruyne. You're going to see Thibaut Courtois. You're going to see Romelu Lukaku. It is a lot of similar names you saw in 2014. So do I think Belgium is better? Yes. And they came to the United States and played a friendly a few months ago, and they throttled the U.S. 5-2. But I don't think it's so much better in quality that you can say the United States has no chance. I would say in the Spain game, they potentially have no chance unless, you know, soccer happens, sports happens. If they played France, they have very little chance unless sports happens. I think in the Belgium match, and you can see it from the odds makers, it is, you know, a 50-50 coin flip. And the fact the United States is younger and more explosive is a real threat for Belgium, who is an aging, long-in-the-tooth type of team.
Let's get back to this for just a little bit, and we'll get to some of the national conversations about the red card here coming up in just a bit. Rob, it is a very American thing to have a controversy when it comes to the officiating at this moment. Like, when you really think about it, I told you guys earlier in the week, soccer is more like the sports that we like than I think we are trying to give it credit for, you know? I think it's more like the traditional sports that we usually follow. If there's one thing that we're used to, it's complaining about a call. It's complaining about replay. You can hop right in this conversation. You don't got to be the biggest soccer fan in the world to see the play, see the results of the play, see the penalty of it all, and be able to weigh in on this thing. That's why I think it's kind of turned into such a red button issue when it comes to it. This is the most American thing that you can possibly have. It's complaining about the officiating. We love to complain about the officials.
You combine that with the fact there is some belief by some, there's some impropriety because the ref has a history of impropriety. It's a very, you know how everyone likes to say NFL games are rigged? This definitely has the same people saying NFL games are rigged are screaming until they're red in the face today. The U.S. got screwed by a bad call and the ref shouldn't be able to officiate the game. It is, soccer has circled back right into the front of the American lexicon because this is what we complain about. Officials, poor calls, and if someone is secretly on the take.
I want to play for you guys something from our dear friend of the show, Nick Wright, because I think you would agree, Rob, one of the players that needs to step up the most, and now Balogun's absence, is going to be Christian Pulisic. Here is what Nick Wright, friend of the show, had to say about the United States men's team. They need Christian Pulisic to step up.
Wildly impressed with basically everyone involved. Not wildly impressed with Pulisic's performance. We're going to need a lot from him in this Belgium game. But everyone else did their jobs to AA-plus levels. It was a shutdown defensive performance that I didn't know that they had in them. Bosnia had one shot in the first half. They didn't have a single shot within 15 yards of the goal, right. And that's with a third of the game you're playing 10 men. I think that the way the U.S. won that game in the perseverance of having to play down a man and still not totally just parking the bus and being like, we're going to hold on for dear life, but throwing some attacking out there, which led to the Tillman set piece, I thought it was great. And I think that everybody involved probably feels awesome about the way they performed, with Pulisic saying, I could have been better, and that hopefully puts a little chip on his shoulder for a game that needs to be the greatest game of his life here coming up in a few days.
Rob, now I don't watch a lot of soccer. I know you watch way more soccer than I do. But I'm just giving you my opinion. I've heard you talk about this Christian Pulisic guy for 6 years. Rob, you and I have been working together for 6 years. You started in March of 2020. You're the reason we got COVID. Think about how the world was before you started working here and how the world has changed since you've been here. You might be patient zero. I've never seen what you want me to see with this Christian Pulisic guy. Maybe I just haven't been watching the same games. Maybe I haven't been watching the right games. But I'm saying the way that I've heard you talk about him and call him Captain America, and how he's the best player on the team, a golden generation, plays for Chelsea. Rob, you have his jersey. I've never seen you wear a football jersey before. I've never seen you wear a baseball jersey before. I've never seen you wear an international jersey for soccer. I've seen you wear a Christian. He's your favorite player. If he's the guy that you tell me he is, I need to see him step up in these games. They need him. He needs to be part of the reason why they win coming up on Monday against Belgium. That's all I know. That's where I am with Christian Pulisic. I'm not telling you he's not good. I don't know. I haven't seen a Chelsea game in which he's played. I'm saying since Rob has introduced him to me, I've never seen him score a goal. I can't remember seeing him assist somebody else who scored a goal. It's go time now. This is the Sweet 16. They're trying to make a run here in this tournament. I need Christian Pulisic to step up if that's your guy.
First off, I would tell you that
I don't know if you watched a different first half of the Paraguay game than I did, but he was absolutely the best player on the field in the Paraguay game until his cramped up and had to leave. He was the reason they were up 3-1. He had the right back for Paraguay in absolute, you know, prison, just dying on that outside one-on-one against Christian. He was cooking him. So that's the impact he can have. He has not been the same since he left that match with injury. He was okay in the match against Turkey, but who cares? Didn't play in the Australia match. I don't think he played up to his standards. A little bit of rust knocking off against Bosnia. But you're right, and Nick's right. It is absolutely go time. It is 100%. You don't have Balogun. You are now the guy. Are you going to play striker? Are you going to play the wing? I don't know where they're going to put him, but he can't have a disappointing performance. He needs to do what he did in CONCACAF League of Nations against Mexico, where he put the team on his back a couple years ago and just won a match by himself. Go be that version of Christian Pulisic. Go be the guy who for the first 6 months in Serie A was one of the best players in Italy. Go be that guy, because the guy I saw last night wasn't good enough, but the guy I saw against Paraguay can win a game by himself. He can impact a game in that level.
Okay, I'm happy to know that you and I are on the same page here about him being dogs. They need him to be a dog in this matchup. That Freeman guy, I've seen him score a goal. Who had the free kick yesterday? That was incredible. Tillman. That was an incredible goal yesterday. Amazing goal. One of the best goals I've seen the U.S. have in my 2 weeks of watching them play soccer. They need Christian Pulisic to step up. They've been talking about you for a decade now about how you're him. This other guy, he ain't even from here. He better than you at soccer. We need you to step up. So I'm challenging Christian Pulisic and my soccer expertise, my soccer knowledge. We got Monday Night Football coming up under the lights. I need you to step up. In Seattle, too. Tough place to play. We've got a home game. You already know the road team doesn't go into Seattle on Monday Night Football and win a whole lot. So Belgium, it shouldn't be any different. I think Monday is going to be a really fun time. Rob, I'm looking forward to watching it with you. I'm sure we will have a great time.
I'm going to be very nervous the entire match this time. This is going to be more like Paraguay energy for this match than it was, say, Australia energy.
Rob, I want to point out, have you noticed when you've watched USA soccer with me, they have dominated? The moment you left my side and went to go watch US soccer by yourself, they lost. Let that be a lesson to you, all right? Let that show you the importance of me in your life. The thing that you care about, when you're around me, look at how it flourishes. You left at halftime with a Turkey game. How did it go? They lost. So I hope you sit for the whole game for this one. And I'll continue to ask questions. I'll be asking Rob some of the dumbest questions while the soccer game is on. I just got questions. I don't know. I can't let him just bubble up in my head. He becomes the text line to me right then and there in that moment. Rob will be eating. I'm like, hey, can you answer this for me? I need to know. These are important things that I need to know. Coming up on Saturday, it is actually my favorite day of the American calendar. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here, Sidra.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on Kansas City's only FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rob, I think you can make the argument that this is the best weekend in our calendar, especially with everything going on this weekend. America is turning 250 years. So the normal fireworks that you have, I mean, you got to get extra fireworks for this one. The Royals are in town this weekend. I mean, they can't wait to lose 7-1 on Friday. They can't wait to get beat 10-2 on Saturday right before the fireworks display. Like they're itching to score one run this weekend. You got World Cup soccer. Mexico plays on Sunday night, so you know Power and Light's going to be rocking. Power and Light's about to have four straight days of parties starting tonight. They got Hot Country Nights going on tonight, don't they? I was reading something on Instagram. First 250 people at PBR, they're giving you a free Coors Light. What a time. Rob, give me the argument that there is a better weekend in the calendar than the one that we have coming up. It's something to do everywhere. The weather's beautiful. It looks like it's going to hold up. The Royals are in town. The World Cup is in town. People are barbecuing. Everybody's in a good mood. The fireworks are going to be extra colorful. Everybody's going to be out in their red, white, and blue. Give me a better weekend than this one.
I don't mean to sidestep your question here, but I'm sorry. Did you just have inside info on Hot Country Nights?
Yeah, I know.
Of all people on this station, I
saw it on Instagram.
One through, you know, we only carry 9 on-air staff. If you were 1 through 9, who's most likely to have Hot Country Nights info? You're 10. How do you know about Hot Country Nights deals?
You know what? I'm a man of the people, okay? I'm a man of the people, and I'm telling you that's what the streets told me. The streets told me today, if you go out to Hot Country Nights, I don't know who's performing. I don't have any additional info.
You just have the alcohol info.
I'm just telling you that if you're one of the first 250 people, they're giving away free Coors Light. So do your own investigation. That's just what I saw.
It is hard to imagine a better weekend in Kansas City. It's a 3-day weekend, which... the fourth falling on a Saturday is a real win. Most people have tomorrow off. If you're listening, you don't. I'm sorry. Don't text in telling me you don't. I don't care. I'm very sorry you don't. But most people have tomorrow off. You got nice hot weather. Get out on a grill. Get out on a pool. Maybe sneak out to a lake. There's a fireworks show everywhere. I heard the Royals are doing something huge on Saturday.
Yeah, they got a
Saturday.
Big fireworks display.
Huge display on Saturday.
They don't have one in the stadium. They have one around the stadium. Mm-hmm. The offense is not going to provide the fireworks. But outside the stadium, that's where the fireworks will be.
I mean, Columbia is going to come to town. They'll bring offensive fireworks to the parking lot.
Absolutely.
Fan Fest is going to be going up. Apparently, Hot Country Nights. I'm sure Power and Light Monday night is going to be going up for the U.S. national team.
Ghana might score more than the Royals do this weekend.
Oh, I bet. 100%, I bet it. Last night at the watch party, Gathering of Souls.
Yeah, come on now.
Gathering of Souls.
Watch your mouth. You know you can't. That might be an FCC violation the way you're talking right now.
Dusty pointed out, he goes, the Royals don't have any runs yet. I'm like, and? Is this new? What are you, new around here? But this does have all-time fun, get-out-and-do-something weekend vibes.
I got a chance to meet a couple of listeners to the show. They came over and said hello, and we were talking for a little bit. And the gentleman came over to me and said, I thought you said that the Royals were not going to be on. There was one TV inside of the peanut that was turned to the Royals. They lost 4-0 yesterday. So the Royals did what the Royals do. They did do that.
I'd love to see the person who was like, keep that on the Royals. And then when the crowd went nuts for a USA goal, he was like, shh, I'm watching my zero scoring Royals. Please leave me alone.
What a weekend we got, you know? What a weekend we got.
Are you a fireworks guy?
I enjoy fireworks, yeah.
Like, do you make a plan to go out and see them? Like, you live downtown, so it's a little different. I don't know where all the actual local displays are.
I will for this 4th, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I will make a plan to go watch fireworks. I will see multiple fireworks displays, yes. Now, I don't need to...
You don't go buy your own.
I don't need to be going to the local tent outside the church and go get the Godfather $325 package. No, I do not need to participate in that. I would like to keep all of my fingers. And I've done this bit before. We don't have to do it today. I actually don't like Firework Guy. Firework Guy is very annoying. Firework Guy is also dangerous. You're about 6 drinks in and you got dynamite in your hand. I don't know why I don't want to be around you. You're more excited about this than the kids are. Why are you so excited right now about fireworks? Let's get back to the World Cup here coming up at the top of the hour. I would like to read this to you because I think it will be enjoyable. So you know how at the end of all the All-Star voting, they present everything, right? So the WNBA, they made their announcement for their WNBA starters. Well, Caitlin Clark, she is going to be one of the starters. So Caitlin Clark finished 2nd in the fan vote. She finished 3rd in the media vote. So she finished top 5 in both of those. Rob, she finished 11th in the player vote. 11th. Now I know what you might be thinking. Paige Beckers finished 1st in the player vote. Paige Beckers, I've seen her before. Very white. Breonna Stewart. She finished second in the players' vote on the Western Conference side. Breonna Stewart, very white. Seen her before. Like, I'm looking at this list. They just don't really seem to like her. I don't know why they don't really seem to like Caitlin Clark. 11th is crazy. It's crazy to me. I'm thinking 11th? You're telling me that the WNBA players, they named 10 better guards in the WNBA than Caitlin Clark? Woof.
I don't mean to have a whole Caitlin Clark conversation, because apparently it's the third rail. If you touch it, you die. Caitlin Clark conversations are a real problem, apparently. Why do they hate her so much? Because I was talking to some people last night at the Gathering of Souls, and they were like, it's jealousy, it's this, it's that. I don't know what it is, but other players in the league hate her. And I have never experienced a league hate a player so much. Like, yeah, it's one thing the NFL all hated Eli Apple. He's not a star. Why do they hate her so much?
Which then, like, part of me just, I mean, we're already here with the conversation. It's like, it's not like Caitlin Clark's, like, the first popular white player in the WNBA. Like, you and I, like, who doesn't like Sue Bird? Everybody loves Sue Bird. Who doesn't love Diana Taurasi? Paige Bueckers, very popular. Paige Bueckers finished first in the fan vote, second in the media vote, first amongst the players. Paige Bueckers did better in voting than Asia Wilson did. I think people that follow women's basketball, like, Asia Wilson's the best women's basketball player. They seem to like Paige Bueckers. They do not seem to like Caitlin Clark for whatever reason. Like, she is not one of them. That is what the WNBA players tell us just about almost every time they have the opportunity to tell us. We do not like you for whatever reason that may be. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, I do want to talk a little bit about the Royals. Shout out to BHN Depmo. Yesterday's Royals game was the least attended summer Royals game in 5 years. What does that mean? We'll talk about it. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.